I come in here, I think it was probably Tuesday or Wednesday, and man, I tell you, this sanctuary is just, it is my sanctuary. I mean, it's where I hide. I mean, it's where I find God. It's where I say, God, hide me in the cleft of your rock. This is my secret place. So oftentimes you'll see a cushion sitting over there, and that's because for whatever reason, I just put the cushion down and I lean up against the wall there and the Lord and I chat, you know. And I just walk towards my cushion. Now, before that, I generally start off in my office and I just take the scriptures out. I start somewhere. In other words, God created everything out of nothing. But since the creation, he rarely starts with nothing. He usually starts with something. Give me 5 loaves, give me 2 fishes, I can make something out of that, you know? So I start with some scripture just to guide my thinking, you know? So I was reading some scriptures and thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about all of you as I pray for you and as I carry you, and now I've got to carry this family this week. As I was thinking about that, and I went over here to sit down, so I come from upstairs, I was going to sit down, and as I started to, I just reached for the floor, and as soon as I did, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, and he said, God is light. Now, I have, I spent some time with that verse a while ago. In 1 John chapter 1, he says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And, you know, I don't know about you, but it's a real benefit when God slips the cliff notes to you, you know? Like, when you don't know what to do, and you've been in the scriptures, and you still don't know what to do exactly, and you're just going to set yourself to seek the Lord, and all of a sudden he whispers something to you. That's a real advantage, you know. And by the way, he'll do that for you as well. He really truly will. So I'm that flooded my mind, and it actually started a chain reaction. So I sat down, and then I started thinking of all the implications of what it means for God to be light, and in him is no darkness at all. I was just going to, if you want to just raise your hand, tell me, when you hear that verse, just tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. Anyone wants to take the shot, just lift your hand and I will identify you if I see you. Or stand up, that might even be better. No one's going to do it now because I said stand up. Yeah, okay. No one wants to take a chance? There's one.
You mean reference to
God is light. Yes. How's that hit you?
That he has paved a way.
He's paved a way. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's not a dark path.
That's right. Yep. Amen. Like, how many have seen the picture of the, cartoon maybe of Jesus' tomb? And what is always shining out of the tomb, you know, is it? Like, can you remember that our new life in Christ starts with the resurrection? It's never downhill from there. It's always uphill from there. But we are moving in a direction. Yes. Anyone else? God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Cheryl. Light is brighter than all the darkness put together. Amen. Thank you, Cheryl. So think about the implication of that. So in the beginning, God created, right? And then he said, let there be light. And after that whole passage, the scriptures say that God said, let there be light, and it was. And then he says something that's commentary. He says, and the light was good. The light was good. All right. This thing is going to give me problems again. I'm going to switch to that mic. There we go. Light is good. Darkness, not so good. Actually, in biblical terms, darkness is related to evil. Right. All right. So I'm sitting down over here, and I start thinking, okay, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. It means that in God, there's no evil in God. Do you ever think about that? Like when you read the Old Testament, and sometimes people will say, you know, having read the Old Testament, it's like, I'm not sure God always had good days. Sometimes he had some bad days, is what it seems like. Well, we're talking about the Father. The Father is holy, righteous, and just. So everything he does is holy, righteous, and just, even if we don't understand it. And I have to start there. I have to say, okay, God, you are light, and there's no darkness in you. So when I start thinking about God and I start saying, yeah, but sometimes he's not so good, sometimes it seems like that bad things happen to good people. When I start to do that, you know what that exposes? It exposes the darkness that is in me. I'm filtering it through my stuff. How many of you know that God taking the time to reveal himself, even through Moses and the law, was a beginning place? He called them out of darkness. He called them out of paganism. Judy and I have just watched a Netflix series. It's a 3-episode series, docudrama on Moses. It's worth watching. It's not bad. So they dramatized Moses and his life, and then scholars and historians and others, you know, they talk about it. And they conjecture and they think, you know, but it's worth watching. It's better than 98% of the other stuff on Netflix, you know. So anyways, we're watching this, and I'm thinking how they're trying to compress this big story into little time, you know. And one of the things that is certain is that Moses has no clue what God is like. He has no clue at all until he had an encounter with God. And then God began to reveal himself. How many of you know that the biggest encounter the world has ever had with God was when Jesus came? Clearest picture of all. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Okay. So here's the point. The point is that I'm sitting here and I'm just saying, I'm thanking God. Like, I am so grateful that not only is there no darkness in you, there's no evil in you, there's no malintent in you, but that everything that you do is for our good and for our benefit. You're more than Mr. Rogers, as wonderful as he was. You know, you're more than that. You're a great father. A wonderful father who amazingly sent his son. And I was just thinking in all the ways in which God is so beautiful and so kind. Now I'm processing the bad news I just shared with you while that's happening. And almost as soon as I exhausted myself of thinking of all the ways in which God is good and light, then it's like, now I'm going to ask you a question. So how many of you know when God asks you a question, he already knows the answer, you know? So it's not for his information. Like, Rich, I really need to ask you something so I can understand you better, you know? It's not how it works. He already knows me. He already understands me. He and I have had a little bit of history. So the question that comes is, how about you, Rich? Is there any darkness in you? Now, sin is major blockage to God, right? Creates major darkness, right? Jesus has dealt with that at Calvary, right? So it's not that I think for a moment God is asking me if I think I'm sinless. He knows I'm not. He provided his son to take care of that problem. Anyone tracking with me? All right. So the issue isn't, do you think that you're sinless? Do you think you're holy or righteous or just? No, the question is, after going through all you've gone through, after living these number of years that you've lived, after seeing the good and the bad and the ugly, after seeing all of these things and experienced so much life, is there any darkness in you? Now, here's where I need to jump back and ask you, because I don't feel like I should be the only one on the hook. You know what I'm saying? Misery loves company. I mean, can I just ask you, do you feel like there's any darkness in you? I know you might be saying, look, I haven't pondered that, so don't even go there, Richie. I mean, like, this is the furthest thing from my mind. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. It is important for us to understand this question. Because the goal, much of the goal of the Christian life, is not just embracing Jesus and loving him, as important as that is, but it's also avoiding the darkness in the world that we live in that is always trying to find entry point into us. Do you know the design of the adversary through everything is to create an entry point for darkness? Are we understanding that? I'm just being Papa Rich right now. I'm sorry, you know. If you expected something more, I can only deal with what's in front of me right now, right? Judy and I just had the privilege. We had so much wonderful life this week, and we had other life too, you know. But one of the wonderful things is we got to meet with friends who were friends, get this, like before the internet. And when Amazon was a jungle in Africa. I mean to tell you, we're talking mid-80s into the 90s, and my gosh, how they have aged. I really was surprised by how much they have aged. And Judy, too. I'm just going to throw her under the bus right now. Yeah. We're going to move on. But before I do, let me just say that having met with them, and we rehearsed the goodness of God in those days, and we had no idea the days that, I mean, like we were just barely starting a family, and they were just barely starting a family, and now we haven't seen each other in 25 or 35 years, something like that, and now we got to share notes, and we just picked up where we left off. You know, and if anything, we found out that God was more good than we thought he was back then. Okay? So what's he going to be like tomorrow? You know what I'm saying? I'm just putting it into perspective. But over the course of my life, and even just take that section from the time we knew them to today, if we just sat down and looked at all the different kinds of ways that darkness could have found entry into our life. Hurts and disappointments, rejections, pandemics, let alone politics and all this stuff. Like, darkness has invaded the planet, which is why when Jesus died on the cross, you know, darkness surrounded that whole area. It's like the devil thought he was winning. He's killing Jesus, you know. Which is kind of nice because Jesus actually put him to shame there. Amen? Yeah. All right. We're going to get happy in a minute, I promise. But At least I am. I don't know about you guys, but I have a great hope for you.
Thank you.
So I'm taking a lot of time on that because when God speaks to me something like that, I understand that much of the time it's for me, but it's also for us. You know, he's just as he was doing all day long speaking to us here. So I want to take you into 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4. And I want to look at some verses there in just a moment. But can you believe last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday? And by Monday, I knew a family who needed a resurrection. You know what I'm saying? So the hope of the resurrection is huge. But let me just back it up a bit. And I mentioned last week that when Jesus died, the veil in the temple, Herod's temple, 2 inches thick, 75 feet tall, who knows how wide, tore from the top to the bottom. And I said something like this: that wasn't to let God out of the box, that was to let us in. So the question becomes, if you go beyond the veil, what would you see? So, you know, for the last few weeks, I'm telling you, I'm addicted to the presence of Jesus. I am hopelessly addicted to Jesus and his presence, what he does in people's lives, worshiping him, how he changes us, how he encounters us. Does anyone understand my addiction? Does anyone share my addiction? I'd like to give you just enough to get addicted right now, you know? And just like a good dealer, I'm going to pull you along. And let me just tell you, you won't need rehab. You won't need treatment. This is the answer. This is what we need. This is not just good medicine. This is the healing. The healing is in Jesus. The healings of our broken hearts and souls is in Jesus. So for a few weeks, I've been leading you up to the veil. I've been taking you past the outer court, into the gates, and into the, you know, past the altar and past the laver and inside the room. And everything led up to the veil. How about I want to go beyond the veil. So getting to the veil was one thing, but I want to go beyond. So if Jesus tore it top to bottom, what would we see in there? If we pulled back the curtain, looked in there, what would we see? And in 2 Corinthians 4, it tells us. And I'm going to start reading from verse number 1. You've got a sheet of paper. It's got some of this printed on it. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. That's the Apostle Paul just saying, we have tried to be people of integrity. The scripture we shared with you, we live. Verse number 3, and even if our gospel it is veiled from those who are perishing. So the idea is to share Jesus so that the veil can be taken off. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of Jesus. For what we proclaim is not ourselves. You know, when it's just not cool when people presenting, supposed to be presenting Jesus, and they're presenting themselves. It's just not cool. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. That's it right there. Nothing bigger than Jesus. He's the big deal. Nothing bigger. The devil's not bigger. When I say up, you say down. When I say in, you say out. When I say black, you say white. When I say God, don't say the devil. It's not God's opposite. No. But Jesus Christ as Lord. With ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So if God is light, and he is. And the goal here is we're not preaching ourselves, we're preaching Jesus as Lord. Now, I need to talk about that next week a little bit. You know, on Easter Sunday, I mentioned to you, we don't see everything under Jesus' feet yet. Part of that is because you and I have a responsibility to bring ourselves under Jesus' feet and as many people with us as possible, right? We don't preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. And ourselves, your bondservant for Jesus' sake. And this is the verse that I really want to look at. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. If you pull the veil back, you'll see Jesus. The glory of God that dwelt behind the veil now is found in the face of Jesus. I got to meet a young Hindu girl and chat with her. She shared with me she's a backslidden Hindu. I was like, great, what we need is more of that, you know. We talked about Easter and her perceptions. Oh my gosh. It just makes me walk away and want to say, only Jesus. Can we, you know, like, tell me another Messiah who rose from the dead. Give me one. Give me one. And by the way, I'm not trashing your God or your faith system. I'm just saying if you pull the veil back, I promise what you'll see is Jesus. Behind that veil, you'll see Jesus. When the light pierces our hearts, we see Jesus. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to God. He's the truth about God. He carries the very life of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. So, we're going to be celebrating communion here in just about 5 minutes. If just give me 5 minutes more, we're going to share these reminders of Jesus. But I want you to just think with me for a moment. My faith in Jesus doesn't allow me to be moved by what other people think about Jesus, but what other people say about Jesus, what philosophers and philosophies say about life. My life's not moved by that because I'm addicted to Jesus. And being addicted to Jesus, I've found a love for him and a love that he is for me. And in him, there's no darkness at all. I'm real skeptical about human beings. starting with myself. So when I start pondering these things, I realize that I'm only moved by what the scriptures tell us, because anything outside of that is just conjecture. But God has reached down through the ages, through the scriptures. And by the way, if you watch that docudrama on Moses, boy, they are, all of them, very much committed to the first five books of the Bible, at least, right? All those scholars. So here's the deal. He's the only one who ever lived in heaven and came to the earth and told us about heaven. He's the only one who called God his Father. He's the only one that God ever said, and that's my son. He's the only one who not only talked about sin, but he's the only one who came and paid the penalty for our sin. The rest of us, we can talk about sin, we just can't find a deliverance for it. But he did. He's the only one who rose from the dead after dying for our sins. He's the only one who ever ascended to the right hand of the Father to rule and to reign. He's the only one who's ever proven to be the way and the truth and the life. If we look beyond the veil, the first thing that we're going to see back there is Jesus and the glory of God shining on him, magnifying him. Because God has commanded that rocks and stones and people and dogs and cats, everything praise the Lord Jesus Christ. He is exalted because he stooped down, because he came down and served. His Father gave him a title that's above everything else. And the scripture says that God will command every knee to bow to Jesus Christ at one day and confess that he is the Lord. He's the one and only who can take away our darkness by his glorious light. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Now, I'm going to ask you a question again. The question is, is there darkness in you? Before you answer that, let me just tell you that I brought my heart before the Lord and I asked him the question that he was asking me, and I said, God, is there any darkness in my heart? Would you search me and know me? Try me. If there's anything evil, dark, untoward, just tell me, because I want to be distant. Don't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what his answer was to me? Right now, in this minute, there is no darkness in you. But brothers and sisters, he and I both know a couple of hours earlier, there was. You and I were called to live in the light, to walk in the light, and to avoid even the appearance of darkness. So the thing is, we got to remove every barrier and every obstacle, everything that shadows Jesus from us. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to take a minute and ask the Lord to shine in our hearts and remove the darkness. Amen? Please bow with me. Father God, I thank you so much for this moment, and I am asking you that whatever is clouding our vision of Jesus
you would remove it. Anything creating a shadow, you would pull it. Everything trying to find entry point into us, that you would expose it. Father, I just want to confess that light not only speaks to your eternal character and integrity, your moral purity, but light also speaks of a revelation. And I'm asking, Lord, that there would be a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ inside every heart who hears me right now. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that everyone in the sound of my voice would suddenly have a revelation that behind the veil, we see the face of Jesus. When we enter into heaven, we'll see the face of Jesus. When we begin to walk down those streets of gold, we'll fall at the feet of Jesus. And so Jesus can not only save us, he can not only carry us, and he can not only keep us, but he is the one who receives us. And he's the one who is creating within us a clean heart and pure hands and a pure mind. But oh God, I pray that you would help us in this day to keep our eyes on you and not to allow anything to cloud our vision of Jesus.